With us, Professor Sean O'Connor, Assistant Professor of Digital Media at Cedarville University. Professor O'Connor, we talked extensively about the Best Picture winner. Give us kind of your highlights on things, you know, Christians ought to really take note of that won awards.
Sure. Well, my personal favorite movie of last year was Dune. And Dune, maybe not be for everybody, I mean, in terms of its fantasy, sci-fi, action movie. But I think actually there's a lot of biblical parallels you could make in that movie about similarly to Lord of the Rings, about power struggles and the coming messiahs and things like that, that I certainly enjoyed and appreciated, and I hope other people will too. I still think Power of the Dog is at least worth a watch. I mean, might not be the most enjoyable movie ever. But,
I couldn't get through it, man.
Yeah. So that one, Best Director, which was pretty cool. Jane Campion is the first woman, or the third woman in history to win that award in, you know, almost 100 years that the Oscars have been around. Belfast won Best Original Screenplay. I think that's a movie about the Protestant-Catholic conflict in Ireland back in the late 60s that I think listeners would appreciate and enjoy. And Encanto won Best Animated Film, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's a big one at my house. It's replaced Frozen. Like, they don't even talk about Frozen anymore.
I don't think the industry was even ready for Encanto because I think it not only the film surprised people, in my opinion, but the song that was most popular wasn't what anyone anticipated.
Exactly, yeah.
So how do you explain that?
Well, I mean, I think, I mean, talking about the streaming versus theatrical thing again, I mean, I remember seeing Encanto on Thanksgiving week in the theater, but it really wasn't until maybe 2 months later, and once it came out on Disney Plus, that like families really got into it who had little kids at home, and like, as you know, the catchiness of certain songs caught on, I think that just really, and social media is a big part of that too, just helping something blow up. And it's you know, I personally don't have any children at home, so I personally don't have that song stuck in my head, but
I'm surprised they didn't get Best Soundtrack. Lin-Manuel Miranda was involved big time with this one, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah, the Best Song Award went to the song from the James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
Which man.
No one's heard.
Yeah.
That's how it always works, I suppose. Now, I want to ask you about the, you know, right after the slap, everyone missed that Questlove won Best Documentary for the... for Summer of Soul, which I just watched recently. What's your take on that documentary?
I loved it. I saw it in the theater back in July, and it was very much, I think some critics have said, well, is it that much of a documentary? Because all it's doing is compiling footage of this music festival and just kind of reliving the event. But I think, I mean, that's an important way to tell the story, just to have the archival footage there, not just because it's, you know, really rare, but just to have the audience that's watching the film kind of relive the experience and see, oh, this was a really joyous musical event with a lot of really big names that celebrated this culture that I think is not only really important, but I think really entertaining. So I would encourage people to seek it out. I think it's on Hulu and might be on DVD as well.
Yeah, I was fascinated by its light but clear juxtaposition with what happened at Woodstock. It's the same summer as Woodstock, but a decidedly different event that nobody wanted to buy or sell or watch. I mean, it was essentially put on, it happened, it was filmed because it was so historic with the people that were there, the huge stars and poets and such. And it was shelved because nobody wanted it, primarily because it's a bunch of black people, I would suppose. But when you compare it to Woodstock, which was debauchery in the mud, I mean, it was like there was a whole host of gospel artists and praise and worship happening in Harlem.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was really encouraged by that. And I think it's an important reminder to not just remember certain parts of history, but to remember all of it, because I think God works in all of it.
So now, I guess that brings us to the slap. What's your analysis as a professor at Cedarville of, you know, Will Smith walking up on stage and slapping Chris Rock for a joke about his wife's haircut?
Right. Well, I'm glad we're talking about this a week afterwards and not just the night or the morning after, because I think enough things have happened in the aftermath of that that kind of help how I think of things. But I think the main problem for me is that, you know, despite the, you know, we could talk all day about what people should have done differently or could have done differently in the moment. But I think what's most troubling to me is just the fact that in the moment, I mean, Will Smith, when he got up to get his Oscar for King Richard, like, he apologized to the Academy and he apologized to, you know, the people in the room. He did not apologize to Chris Rock. And it took him like 24 hours to put up a response on social media saying explicitly, "I apologize to you, Chris." And then Chris Rock did something similar. And it's just kind of a reminder of two things, really. Which one is, it doesn't matter if you're Will Smith, doesn't matter how likable or popular or rich you are, you know, you can undo a lot of really goodwill with people in the blink of an eye with, you know, one small decision. Yeah. And it's a reminder that, you know, we all have sinned, as we read in Romans, and we all fall short, and we all need that reconciliation, forgiveness, and those things. But also, I think it's a reminder that it's really easy to just, you know, when we know we've done something wrong, to kind of shrug it off. And like what Will Smith said in his acceptance speech, like, you know, "I apologize to the Academy. Love will make you do crazy things." You know, it's not, I don't want to say an excuse of why he went up to slap Chris Rock, but just the idea that, I mean, Jesus commands us, when we have something at, you know, conflict with our brother, we need to go, as he says in Matthew 5, and make it right with him right then and there. And I think it's really easy to just not do that and skirt around the issue. And yeah. I really wish that had happened. And I know that, you know, I wasn't there and I don't have much control over that. But I am really encouraged to hear that when Will Smith, like during, you know, a commercial break, he was approached by, among other people, Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. And those two people, I don't know if you've read the articles about their yeah. interaction. That's come out in the last few days. They talked with him. They prayed with him. Denzel Washington in particular said something that Will Smith said in his acceptance speech, that, you know, when you're at your highest, that's when the devil comes for you, which I thought, you know, it's, yeah. you can tie that to scripture very easily. And then yeah. I don't know what their exact, you know, faith affiliations are. And I'm not sure it really matters. I just think we ought to pray for, you know, these people, even as big of a celebrity as they may be, or as far away from we are as they may be, they are in need of a savior as well.
Yeah, and you know, we shouldn't give up on Hollywood.
Yeah.
When you hear about the first reaction is from two followers of Jesus yeah. who are praying with Will Smith, I mean, yeah. Jesus has not abandoned Hollywood.
That's right. What's your take on Sony and Netflix pausing their release of Bad Boy 4? And I'm not sure what Netflix, they have, it's another movie from Will Smith. Where do you think that's going?
Right. I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, a week out, but it doesn't surprise me that they put those projects on hold. They may very well put projects with his family on hold, just maybe at least until, you know, the hype dies down and the slap isn't talked about as much, which is kind of unfortunate that, you know, sometimes it's the way it goes. You know, companies wait until the hype has died down and we're not, you know, this controversial person we're working with isn't being talked about anymore, and then we'll go ahead and work with them again.
Yeah.
But again, I think that's a huge reason why I think it's important for there to be people at, for instance, Sony and Netflix, who are not only really excellent storytellers and producers and filmmakers, but love the Lord and can speak solid biblical truth into the lives of different people. And that's something I continue to pray for. It's something I continue to pray for my students for, and other students at Christian universities who are studying film. There's absolutely a need there still.
Mm-hmm. So now for an actor, the Oscars is a professional event. So what should be the professional consequence for Will Smith for his behavior? I mean, physical violence at an event.
Sure. The Academy and some other organizations have been talking, discussing what those options are, because reportedly when it happened, they were just so in shock that, you know, they didn't really know how to respond. But I think expulsion for Will Smith from the Academy was considered. But then on Friday, he resigned. So I don't know if his resignation is going to, like, prevent disciplinary action. And that's the reason he did it. I hope that's not the reason.
Yeah.
But certainly there will be protocol for this kind of thing in the future, I guarantee.
Which is just tragic. Should he lose his Oscar for this?
I don't think he can, nor do I think he should, to be honest. My personal opinion, the Oscar is given for the the quality of the performance, not the character of the performer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you are going to take away one person's Oscar for doing a bad thing, I mean, technically, nobody could have Oscars.
Yeah, for real. True.
That's a really good point.
The whole mess.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually, I mean, like, worse things have been done by people who have Oscars and still have them, like Harvey Weinstein's
one. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, and I think it's dangerous, you know, in that sense to, like, I don't want to compare sins, you know, it's a very dangerous ground. But still, I mean, it's a reminder that, you know, we're all guilty of sin. We all need a savior. We need to be encouraging each other, lifting each other up and pointing people to Jesus and, you know, pointing out, you know, finding the speck in our own eye before we find the plank in our brother's eye, or is it the other way around? Excuse me. The plank in our own eye versus the speck in the brother's eye, because we're both in trouble if we leave them there.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps at the end of the day, Will Smith's mother needs to take him from Bel Air and bring him back to Philly.
Hello. Yeah. Philly ain't working. Maybe that's what, I mean, Bel Air ain't working.
The answer is.
Right.
All right. But Professor Sean O'Connor has been. Who? Me?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you lost a lot of people with that.
It was Philadelphia, born and raised on a playground. He's spent most of his days.
Yeah.
Chilling out, Max, relaxing. All. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not that I know the whole theme song.
No, yeah.
Professor Sean O'Connor is assistant professor of digital media at Cedarville University. You ought to go there, send your kid there. It's a place where if you're your child or yourself are aspiring media professionals, it's the place to go, cedarville.edu. For more information, cedarville.edu. Thanks again, Sean O'Connor, for your analysis today.
Thank you so much.
You bet. It is 7:31. It's time for us to take a quick break to hear from Dr. Tony Evans. When we come back, we'll get warmed up for this week's edition of Bible Brain Busters.
Oh, yeah.